Hallelujah, hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now do not clap as though you left them at home. Use them, put them to use. Amen. Let's appreciate, you may take your seats, please. Let's appreciate Minister James for leading us so awesomely. Bless you, man of God. Bless you, bless you. Indeed, it is coming home. Your miracle is coming home. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you have been waiting for is coming home. It's going to locate your address in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your miracle cannot miss you. No. It will locate your address. God knows your address. Hallelujah. So thank you so much, James, for using that analogy to drive that point home. Amen. And indeed, we pray for England today that England may bring that cup home in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the after 55 years, you know, all my entire life, I'm 55 years now. These guys have been waiting for this cup to come home. Can you imagine? It's coming home. We pray for those boys that God will use them. In this grim season, we want some good news. Come on, England, they can do it. We send the word of God into Wembley that God will use those boys, will use their legs, you know, to bring that cup home indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. I want also to welcome, to echo James in making welcome all of you here in the name above every other name. And those of you who are online, thank you so much for tuning in. But before we go any further, did you see Abigail here? Or was it only me here? You know, many years ago, I used to teach English in a school in some remote area of Africa. And we had this guy who was an engineer. So this engineer, for him, he thought in his mind, he was so proud. You know, these proud guys. So for him, every other person who's not an engineer was not a person who never went to school. So for example, picture tonight in Wembley, you know, he goes to a place like, you know, to watch football, and then he looks around and then says, there was nobody in the stadium except me. And then he said, what? Yeah, because every other person is not as educated as I am. Yeah? So maybe it was only me who was in this room to see Abigail. But if you were in this room with me and saw what Abigail did, and you online at home, let's appreciate Abigail for that awesome word. That awesome song. We are leading in worship, brother. And the girls, Jacqueline, thank you so much for standing. Thank you so much, Divine. And guess who came back? Lillian, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. That was really, really good. And let's appreciate the best instrumentalists in the world. Yeah. These young people do a lot of work. The amount of sacrifice they put in the work of God is incredible. At their age, I was drinking myself silly. I was smoking all sorts of weeds. I was doing all sorts of stuff. I was just crazy. I was a bad boy at their age. But when I see them every Saturday here, I just glorify God and say, I wish I had known you, God, at their age. Hallelujah. So I encourage you children, parents who have got children. I have got a testimony that church can keep your children. Church can keep your children. When they get engaged in the work of God, there's a seed. There is a seed. Somebody say seed. There is a seed that is implanted in those children. And wherever they go, they can never run away from God. So encourage your children to come here on Saturdays. Release them. Release them. If you don't release them, to be immersed in God, they will be released to be immersed in something else that you don't want to. So I just encourage you. Just release the children. They are not yours in the first place. They belong to God. The woman Hannah, that's what she did. She dedicated her son to the Lord. Can you imagine? And some of us here, even some of us online, say, Lord, if you give me a child, he's going to serve you. We make vows. But I thank God for a woman like Hannah. We need to be women and men of our word. A woman like Hannah, she kept her word. Can you imagine waiting for a child for many years when your co-wife, your Penina is giving birth every like rabbits, you know? You get one. The temptation is, you know what, Lord, you understand. Lord, I think, Lord, you understand. And that's how it is even when we come to giving the tithe, whatever it is, we begin to negotiate with God. You understand, Lord, you understand. God, God understands the vow, what you vowed. This woman was true to the vow, and she took this child and gave him to the temple. She said, you know, Lord, I promised, here he is. And no wonder the child grew up to become one of the most prominent voices of God that has ever lived, Prophet Samuel. Amen. So I encourage you, I was just going there to encourage parents to release your children into service. Let's appreciate Mercy for being a leader who releases others as well. Because trust me, somebody can come here and want themselves to be the only ones that shine. But when you begin to release others, that is the heart of God. You understand? That's the heart of God. That's why in most cases here, I release people to come here and preach on a Sunday. There are churches out there where nobody will ever stand on the pulpit on a Sunday except the head pastor or the lead pastor. You understand that? I think you have seen that. Sunday is mine. The rest of you can go to Wednesday, whatever. No. I believe that all of us, God, you know, has put something in us. And I believe in lifting up others. So I want to sit down there and be blessed by Minister Busurwa. Be blessed by, were you not blessed by Minister James with that short word of encouragement? Yeah. The way he brought it, I wouldn't have brought it that way. So we thank God for the giftings in the house. So next time, tell your neighbor, just whisper to him and say, next time it may be you. Yeah. Maria, I'm coming. Yeah. I'm coming, Maria. Next time it may be you leading the service here. And Maria said amen. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Let's enter into the word of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank you for the privilege of sitting under your tutelage. Spirit of the living God, we are welcome. Come and have your way. Take over my tongue. Take over my intellect. And King of Kings, use me to speak your word. King of Kings, Father, Lord, without any apology. Father, King of Kings, I am getting out of your way that you will have your way. I come against the spirit of distortion, the spirit of deletion, the spirit, King of Kings, of generalization. I break those spirits that twist words. In Jesus' mighty name, we'll hear the word, King of Kings, as it comes to us in Jesus' mighty name. We bless your holy name. We glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. And somebody shouts amen and gives the Lord a big clap offering. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Today, I want to speak about a subject I've called becoming a good hearer. Becoming a good hearer. Hallelujah. How many of you looked yourselves in the mirror this morning? Many times. Thank you so much for being honest. Many times. Some of the ladies here were pretending as though they never walked to the mirror. You know, there's a mirror in the bathroom, there's a mirror in the bedroom, there's a mirror in the corridor, there's a mirror in the living room, and there's a mirror even in the car. So this, you get in the car and somebody gets in the car and straight out, the first thing is, and I'm asking myself, all those mirrors in the house were not enough. You see, when you see yourself in the mirror, you'll see something interesting. You see yourself and you'll see something interesting. God gives you 2 ears for a reason. And he gives you 1 mouth for a reason. So that you may speak less but hear more. Do you understand? God gave us ears. Because something new will come out. The Bible, the word of God is fresh. The word of God is fresh. Where I come from, we have got amahoro. We keep amahoro. You know, the food that if you eat, for example, at night, dinner, and you don't finish the leftovers. Let me call the leftovers. You know the leftovers, yeah? In my language, they call them amahoro. But leftovers know how to become stale. The word of God can never be stale. The word of God is new. Every morning, it is new. Every day. Hallelujah. So whenever somebody brings a scripture, you may have heard it 1,000 times. Just sit and listen. Be objective. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because a new message will come through that word. Do you understand? So some of us have become as too accustomed to the word of God. And we have taken it for granted. Even when we are in church, we don't hear. And even in the days of Jesus Christ, it remained. That's how it was. Even up today. Some ears just want to be entertained. Hallelujah. But then their hearts remain uninformed. They hear, but then their hearts remain the same. You understand? And this is certainly most displeasing to God. It displeases God. And it's most also unprofitable to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the end result is what we are seeing today is we see many people who have been in church or who are in church but remain unconverted. They remain unchanged. The question this morning is, are you changing? Have you been changing? Because we are in the process. We are not yet finished products. Me, myself, just because I'm on the other side of this side of the microphone does not mean that I am a finished product. So do not put high expectations on me because I am a human being. Do you understand? The most important, one of the most fatal mistakes that people make is putting, you know, people, high expectations on people. So if you are coming in this church and you have got high expectations on me, you are putting your high expectations in the wrong place. I am signposting you to where you should put high expectations in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? I want you person to come into this church for Jesus, not for me. This is not Ruben Guma Ministries. No, this is Jesus Christ. That's why I do not call myself a senior pastor. I call myself a lead pastor. Do you know why? Because the senior pastor of this church is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the shepherd. So let's put our expectations in Him. Because if you put your expectations in a human being, you will be disappointed. Do you understand that? Because I cannot be everything to everybody here. Never. Even your mom who gave birth to all of you. You may be 6 of you in a family. She can never be the same to all of you. Never. Do you understand that? I have got shortcomings. Why? Because I'm human. I think it's Apostle Judas who normally says it. I'm not made of metal. I'm not made of metal. Some people think, but I also have problems, my friend. So that's why in most cases, we encourage people to come and pray. Come and pray, because you know what? I may enter into a session of prayer and find myself praying for myself. For about 40 minutes, I'm praying for myself. It's okay, oh, I need to pray for people as well. Do you understand? Because I also have got some mountains to shift. You think that my bank balance is bouncing with thousands of pounds? You think I come here every Sunday we come here to think, oh, hallelujah, because everything is hunky-dory? No. We are moving by faith. We are standing, we are walking on water. But when we come here, we signpost you to put your expectations in the person in whom we are putting our expectations in. Hallelujah. That's why you need to listen. That's why you need to hear the word of God. You need to become a good hearer. I think James put it quite right. In many cases, we speak about faith, 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 faith. But when the rubber hits the road, what happens? So like I said, most people have been in church for ages. I can say that the most unchanged people are in church. And I can say that with authority. But I refuse that be. That's not you. Somebody say, that's not me. People remain unaffected by the word. They hear the preacher's voice with their outward ears, but they never experience the power of the word of God in their hearts. Like I normally say here, if someone's were changing people, I don't think we would have conflicts in amongst ourselves. There would be no conflicts. Sister so-and-so is tight with sister so-and-so for a few months. They walk in church together. The moment you begin to see the other one going the other side and the other one going the other side, then you don't even have to be a prophet. You know that there's something that has happened. What has happened? What has happened? I think it is Paul who was writing to the Galatians. He says, he called them foolish. He says, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? You started in the spirit, but now you are ending up in the what? In the flesh. There are churches here. We were talking to somebody yesterday. So there's a church. In fact, even when I came here in 1999, the first time I came into 1999, we used to minister in Bishop Gilbert Dare's church. But to my chagrin, at the end of this one of those services, you would find the police outside, like the men and women who have been worshiping God. They would be flexing real blows. Treading blows, fighting, swearing. And I'm thinking, what? I'd never seen it in my life. I was shocked. Now, those ones are treading physical blows, but how many of us tread? You know what I'm talking about? In your phone, are you still tight with sister so and so? Are you still tight with brother so and so? What happened? We need to be hearers of the word of God. Hallelujah. And then proceed to do what? To do. What shows that you have... Let me tell you. Most of us here, parents, or you grew up. If you didn't grow up with a parent, I don't know. But most of us know that the most... One sentence that parents normally repeat, even you yourself who's a parent, is something. And when we come, even here in the UK, when the parents get to that, that's when you hear a parent using their vernacular, you know that things have gone to another level. Does that apply to you as well? Yeah. The church, meaning this, and you call it this child does not hear. The child that you gave birth to is now become a child. And he cannot hear. Why? Because you have told him not to do this 1,000 times. Do you understand? Is there a witness in this house? Is there, you know? Nabo chumva. Techiulira. Now that's the child. You know how many times God is complaining in heaven? Yeah? Reuben, why don't you hear? You sit through sermons. The Christian television is the one that's playing throughout. But you are listening to sermons. What's going on? But yet you are in hatred. You are in judgment. You are in all those sorts of things. Are you hearing? The word of God, my friend, is a seed. The word of God is like seeds, and our hearts must be that soil. And we know that we know about the parable of the sower. Hallelujah. The word of God must come into your heart and produce fruits. The Bible says you will do what? You will know them how? By their fruits. But how do those fruits come? Those fruits come from the word of God. They must enter. They must have access into the deeper recesses of your mind, of your heart, and begin to germinate and to bring fruit. A person who used to slap people, the moment they talked about him, this time they talk about you and nothing happens, because that is gone. Another fruit has come. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says Jesus Christ talks about the parable of the sower. Says he equates it to a farmer who went to sow seeds in a field. And then he says he scattered the seed. Right now, as I'm doing, I'm just scattering the seed of the word of God. That's what I'm doing. And then he says, some of the seed fell on the pathway. And the pathway. A pathway is where people walk. Some of you have not grown up in villages, but some of us who grew up in villages, we didn't have the tarmac. You know, we walk in footpath. Well, once upon a time, there was no path. But because people have been walking over that place, you know, it becomes a footpath. And because it's become a footpath, it's hardened by the feet. I'm talking about, these guys have got feet, my friend. The other day, I was just remembering, saying, how did we manage to walk barefooted on those gravel roads? Full of thorns. Some of you remember what I'm talking about. Now you are here. You look so holy and sanctified, and you have got that mascara there. Even you don't want to worship that mascara. You have you forgotten where you came from? Hey, somebody say, hey, hey. God has brought you from far. yeah. God has brought you from far. And now you are here complaining about, you know, what? Oh, God. So a pathway. So when seeds go into a pathway, the pathway is already hardened. There's no way this seed can sink into the ground. And that's how some of our hearts are. Some of our hearts have been trodden by the devil like you have never seen. You're so hardened. However much a pastor preaches or a preacher preaches, it's like, I know that. I have heard about that. There's nothing new there. You go through a service, those of you online, and some of you right now are switching off because you're online. I know what he's saying. Let me go and make a cup of tea. Jesus said that because the seeds cannot sink. What happens? The birds of the air, they come and take the seed. The enemy comes and snatches the seed. If the ground is not soft enough to accommodate the seed of God, the word of God, the devil will take it straight away. Listen, 80% of what people hear in a church sermon remain here. 80% does not even cross that door. Now listen, by the time you get down, understand, for us we have got stairs. By the time you go downstairs, this stairs also, you know, 15, it's 15%. By the time you hit the door there, it's 10%. By the time you're opening the car, 5%. That's why somebody will ask you, oh, you are from church, yeah. What did the pastor talk about? You see, it's not there. It was on the pathway. Somebody say, eh. Then he talked about rocky places. Ibuye. I think it's Ibuye. Ibuye. Hey. Mawe. Jiwe. That is in Swahili. Jiwe. I don't know what it is. How do you call, how do you say stone in your language? Stone. Like a rock. You know how to say that? Koti. Koti. Your hearts are like a koti. In order for the word of God to enter, you need a serious hammer, a serious drill to enter. It is impossible for seeds to grow on rocks. It is impossible. Even when there's a little, you know, layer of soil, they will start to germinate a bit, but then they will straight away die because they don't have nutrients. Straight away. These are the people who receive the word so enthusiastically. I used to see them in Africa. Even before the pastor has finished the sentence, they know how to say amen. We are saying amen to what? Then they know how to lift the chairs. Oh, yeah. They are so super excited. They are worked up. It's like they are on something. But when the word takes some takes a little bit of germination. But when they begin to meet pressures of life out there, like James was saying earlier, the pressures of waiting. You talk about, you know, with the God of Abraham, and the blessings of Abraham, I need a blessing. You cannot just pray the blessings of Abraham just like that. The blessings of Abraham are costly, my friend. Waiting upon a promise is not easy. You cannot wait for food to be warmed in the microwave. You cannot, because you are so hungry. It's supposed the packet says warm it for 5-8 minutes, but at five you're already checking. Even five, I've gone very far. That's how the word of God on a rock is. When the pressure comes, they fall away. Which one are you? He talks about thorns. Thorns, some falling thorns. Thorns are already there. What happens is there's a competition. The seed of God, the word of God begins to compete with the seed, with the thorns. And he calls that worry. They become too worrisome of life. Some of us are too worried. We are professional worriers. You are, even right now, you are sat here, but you are worried. Worried. Online, you are worried. Worried about what? Jesus Christ preached and said, do not worry about some things. No, about anything. Do you understand? Do not worry. Too consumed with worry. Too consumed with the things of the of world. If I had some more money, I would acquire that. Such people, when the rubber hits the road, worry deprives the word of God flies out of the mind. They forget what they heard. But then he speaks about a good soil. This is the good soil. Somebody say, I am a good soil. Now, you did not say it even convincingly. You know, you see, even you are not sure of yourself. Say, I am good soil. That's what God wants you to be. Where the word of God will sink. And he says, some will grow 100%, others 60%, others 30%. More than what was planted in there. Anybody farmed here? What you reap, you see, a seed goes into the ground and it germinates and it brings sheaves of millet, of grain, more than what was planted in there. That is what's called fruitfulness. God wants you to become like that. The word that I'm speaking today to you and myself, because it's a double-edged sword, remember, as I speak it, it is also applying to myself here. Do you understand that? So we need to produce more than what has been put in us. I am praying for a time when there's no conflict here. That's why the Bible says, how wonderful it is for the children of God to be in harmony, to live together. It's like the oil, you know, the oil from above flowing from the beard of Aaron to the hem of his garment. It's the unity. Whether you come from Sierra Leone, whether you come from Rwanda, whether you come from Uganda, whether you come from Tanzania, we are all children of God. Is it possible for us to be together in love? When somebody steps on you, whether accidentally or intentionally, are you able to forgive him? Because that's the word teaches us to do so. Are you able to bury the hatchet? Heck, God forgives you every day. You are not an angel. Every day, his mercy is to you and you. Why are you restricting yourself from giving another mercy? Have you been hearing the word of God? And Jesus Christ, as he's talking about this parable, he says all that is based on hearing and understanding the word. Hearing and what? Understanding the word. I'm not here this day today to preach to you so that you can swing on the trusses here to excite you. No. I'm on assignment to wake you up so that you can hear. Hear. The reason people do not grow and change is because the sermons they hear do not change them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, says, then the righteous shall shine like sun in the kingdom of their father. They shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their father. He who has ears, let him what? Speak to me. Yeah. He who has what? Do you have ears? Now I'm not talking about these ones where I can see some earrings dangling. No, those ones are for other people. I'm talking about, there's another ear we are talking about. Somebody say amen. Do you think that there's a difference between hearing and listening? You are right, there is. Listen, we're going to define hearing. This is a class. We're in a class right now. Yeah? Yeah. Hearing. The Bible says, Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, hearing is the process. It's the function or power of perceiving sound. Perceiving sound specifically. The special sense by which noises and tones are received as a stimuli. As long as you have ears, that one, you will hear the sounds. Right now, can somebody hear the keyboard? Who among the stars here has just been focusing on the keyboard ever since I've been speaking? No. But you were hearing it. Now, the Hebrew word for hearing here is shama. It means giving honest heed. Honest heed. What you are listening to, you give it honest heed. You are listening attentively, or listening carefully, or listening closely, or listening obediently. That's what we're talking about. That's the hearing we've come to talk about. That's why God says in most cases, you hear him saying, "Oh, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Hear, O Shiloh. Hear, O your put Peter. Hear, O whoever you are. Hear, hear, hear. Listen attentively. What God desires in this injunction is that they may hear beyond the spoken words. Do you understand? He wants the one hearing to listen intently to what he is saying and understand it and do it. That's why you say, as a parent, this child does not hear. Why do you say that? Because you spoke something to this child, but the child was there hearing, but the child has not done it. So to you, the child doesn't hear. That child to be stable in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has an issue when we don't listen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 4 says, Hear, O sons, a father's instructions and be attentive. Why? That you may gain insight. You can never gain insight if you are not attentive. Say, for I gave you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. The reason we forsake his teaching is because we are not paying attention in the first place. It says, when I was a son with my father, tender and only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words and keep my commandments and live. Let your heart what? Hold fast my commandments. Proverbs 5:1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Are you listening, child of God? Do not get tired on me. Because you know how to get into weddings and sit. Even tonight, you're going to go on a football match and you will watch for 90 minutes. They will even go to 120. You will be sat there. So do not get tired on me. Tell your neighbor, don't get tired. Tell him, it's not you. I've just given you the command. Tell him, or her. Yeah. Proverbs 4, 22 to 20 to 22. Proverbs 4, chapter 2, 20 to 22. You're writing that? Write that down. He says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear, not this ear, the inner ear, to what? To my sayings. He says, let them not what? Escape from your sight. Keep them where? In your heart, within your heart. Why? For they are life to those who do what? Find them. And healing to all their flesh. Somebody say amen. Hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound. Like I gave you the example. You can perceive the keyboard, but then that's not where your attention is. That is hearing. We perceive the sound waves by the ear. And the sound waves have got to be transmitted to our brain so that our brain processes them in order to get audible information. Now, if you are not hearing impaired, hearing simply happens. Somebody said, hearing simply happens. Yeah, as long as you are not deaf, you can hear. Hearing is passive. It requires no effort. You can hear somebody speak like you are hearing me right now. You can hear the keyboard. Hearing occurs without your consent. You do not have, there's no way you can shut out this keyboard unless you are deaf. So whether you want it or not, you will hear it. There's no consent. Hearing is passive. Is such a passive quality. It even occurs when you are sleeping. Did you know that you can hear even when you are asleep? That's what we do. Merely hearing some people speaking, vibrations in the atmosphere, and then we begin to nod. Yeah, we smile. We respond. Let me tell you, when I just come to this country, the accent of the indigenous here was so tough. They would speak, somebody would speak, and I would just say, yeah, they are smiling, and I'm also smiling, I'm nodding. They are talking, but I did not hear what I didn't understand a word. Is there anybody like me here? Let's be truthful. Did you hear? You heard. But did you understand what they said? No. Why? Because, and you keep nodding. Even right now, some people, and in the church, we know how do we nod in the church? By amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. And but did you hear? Hardly. Listen, when you are merely hearing somebody's words but not listening to what is being said, it can lead to misunderstandings, missed opportunities, and resentments. So listening is not the same as hearing. It's a deeper sense. That's what God is calling you, child of God, to a deeper hearing. Go deeper. That's why it's a deep calls unto deep. You've got to go deep. The word of God is deep. Somebody say amen. Now let's go back to the dictionary to define listening. The Bible, I don't know why I keep saying the Bible. Merriam-Webster defines listening as to hear something. Listen, to hear something with thoughtful attention. Did you hear that? Now, you have crossed from being just passive. Now, if the moment I spoke about the keyboard, straight away, what happened? You shifted your focus to the keyboard because I mentioned it. Now, it became, although there are many things here, it takes the prominence in your hearing. Because it takes for ground. Because I have mentioned it. But if I don't mention it, you keep hearing it, but now you are focusing on something else because your thought is you are hearing something else you are hearing it thoughtfully. You are attaching your thought to what you are hearing, to what I'm speaking right now, and that's called listening. Now, it's very possible for you to be here, not listen a word to a word that I spoke. That's why not everybody who is in a sermon hears what listens or he goes away with the sermon. Hearing refers to the sounds that you hear. Listening requires more than that. Because listening is something that you do consciously. You choose to hear. You choose to listen. And you focus. Listening requires what? Focus. Listening requires concentration so that your brain processes the meaning from every word and every sentence that is being spoken. Listening means paying attention, not only to the story or the words, but you are looking at my language as well. Because when you see, when I kicked, some of you laughed. Why? Because you were paying attention to the whole of me. Communication is not just words. You're watching the body language. I don't know about you, but at times I do this, and some people around me begin to say, no, you're not listening. Because somebody is talking and I'm on the phone at times, you know. How many of you do that? Yeah, just be sincere. I'm on the phone and this somebody says, are you listening? Yeah, but you're not looking at me. Because the body language is speaking. So listening means you're also paying attention to the body language. So it's no longer just about the sound, but it's now become about the thoughts, about the feelings, about the point of view, the expectations, the memories, the sensations, and the beliefs. It's become too big. Listen. Human beings can hear sounds much faster than they can process thoughts. You can hear sounds much faster than you can process thoughts. That's why I said, in this world in which we are surrounded by many voices. And most of the voices are not even outside, they are in you. Most of the voices are in you. And some of those voices are outspeaking the word of God. How many people speak to themselves here? If you do not speak to yourself, you are crazy. If you do not talk to yourself, you are a crazy person. Every normal person has got to have internal dialogue. You've got to talk to you. Even this morning, I asked about the mirror. Most of you went to the mirror and spoke to yourself in the mirror. Look at you. Look at this nose. Hey, why can't you work on this gray hair? You know, don't you see that, you know, you need to go to a salon. You are there speaking to you. So if you are here and pretended that you never speak to yourself, you need to repent, my friend. There are many different noises around us. And you know what? Human beings have developed the capacity to block out certain sounds and focus on others. And if you're not careful, the sound that you close out or shut out may be the word of God. God forbid that the word of God is shut down in your system. Let all the other voices go to naught. Let all the other names fade away. Let all the other voices fade away. But not the voice of God, not the word of God. Hallelujah. If the guys on the projection can help me and put on first image, image number one. If you can. The one that has got arrows. No, the another one. The first, yeah, that one. I don't know whether you can see it from where you are. But every one of us has got a system of receiving information. That's called a sensory channel. Now the arrows are the filters. And that box is what you decipher from what you hear. Some of us are visual. That's why some of you right now are already bored, because you receive information more when you see. So when somebody talks for an hour, you switch off. And at times you ask yourself, why can't I concentrate? The reason is, you are not wired to receive information auditory, like another person who hears. You know, some people, it doesn't matter how many pictures you put before them, if they can't hear, they will not receive information. Others are kinesthetic. Kinesthetic means by touch. If I don't touch it, have you ever seen somebody saying, let me see? That's a good watch. Let me see. What do you mean, let me see? Because for him, if it's not in their hands, they have not seen it. Or you are talking to somebody and he says, oh, I see. I see what you mean. Do you hear what you are saying? Something, but for him, he sees it. Whatever you are saying is being filtered pictorially as an image. He receives it as an image. He says, I see. But I've just been speaking words, not drawing diagrams. Because for them, they receive pictorially, imagery. Yeah? Another one says, I understand. I understand. That one is hearing auditory. He's an auditory hearer. That's olfactory. Olfactory is by sense of smell. Some people take information by sense of smell. Yeah. They can enter in this place and smell something and say that's what they can decipher something out of, from their smell. Others, what's that word? Gustatory. That might, but that's by test. That's the tongue there, by testing. So, at the end of the day, what enters into your mind is dependent on your system of receiving information. The environment around you. That's why all of us may be in the same environment, but to go away with different messages. Even today as I preach, I can guarantee you, how many of us are here? Over about 30. There are 30 different messages going out of this door today. Depending on your sensory channel of receiving information. That's why somebody once said the map is not the territory. What you see is not what it is. Not everything you see is as it seems. Hallelujah. Amen. There is more to what you see than is there. Perception is not always the reality. That's what I'm trying to say. Perception is not always what? Reality. You may find somebody just standing in the corner there and speaking to a lady. What do you perceive? Somebody will perceive, hey, these guys, I think they're in love. Is that true? No. But because that's how you process information, you go away with that. Oh, I saw brother so-and-so with sister so-and-so. And you embellish something and you begin propagating. That's how words begin, words that are unfounded, begin to be spread because of perception. What you saw was not what was not reality. What you heard, let us come to what we are hearing, what we are talking about hearing. What you heard was not exactly what you heard. Is someone listening to me? Your personal perceptions and prejudices can affect the quality of your listening skills. It can affect it. For example, some of us, some people, I know some, like I said, I gave an example of that guy, my fellow teacher, who used to think that he is more of a person than other people who are not educated. Because some people who are well financially, intellectually, or socially, they are prone to not to listen to people who are under them by status. That is why you find that most people who are better off than the pastor do not take the message of the word of God. Better educated than the pastor, better financially well off by the pastor, whatever it is that you are listening to, or the teacher at school, they tend to not take from them. People want to receive from people who are almost of the same status. And that's why Jesus Christ did not go for the Pharisees. He did not go for the Sadducees. He did not go for the well-educated guys. He went for fishermen. Jesus Christ is looking for fishermen. Let me tell you, if you are that kind of person who overlooks people because you are of a higher status than them, you are missing out on something. Somebody say amen. Let's have the second image, communication filters. That big, you see that? That's your face there. That's my face. I just, you know, and that big arrow is how the information is coming. The other information we talked about in the first slide. Now that's how the information is coming into you. And the first brackets there, you see, those are filters. The filters, the way you perceive or hear something will be filtered. Every one of us here has got filters. It will be filtered by your background, will be filtered by your education, be filtered by your past experiences. You understand? So that by the time it goes into your brain, either you will have put it into three categories. One category is some of them you will generalize. You see that door there? If next week I shifted the hinges from the sides and put them in the middle. You know what will happen on Sunday? What would happen? You would still want to open them there in the middle. You will push in the middle. Why? Because for you, for any human being, hinges must be on the other side. So you generalize that every door has got hinges on the sides. Let me tell you, not every door has got hinges on the side in life. Do you understand that, what I'm trying to say? So not every door will be opened the same way you opened the other one. That is why, because I touched somebody with a handkerchief and they were healed. That's why I'm not going to start a ministry of handkerchief ministries. Is somebody understand what I'm saying? Today I healed somebody who got healed because I touched him. It's not the same formula. Are you still with me? So you generalize. Information comes, you generalize. It's the same thing I heard the other time. You know, you generalize and you just leave it there. And yet inside, that information was something that was going to take you to another level. But you just put it in one corner and say it's the same like as the other one. That's one box. Another box is distortion. You distort it completely. Completely distort it. What I said here, you go and tell somebody and it's distorted. That's not what I said. Based on the filter. Has anybody ever distorted your words? Here, if you are with me, just sleep. Yeah. It's because of the filters in them. You said A, they heard B. Or they... And another one is just deletion. Some of the words that I've spoke ever since, I don't know how many minutes I've been speaking. Most of the words you deleted. That one, that one, This one generalized. This one distort. I don't know how many have entered into the brain and made sense. That depends on your filters. And that's how we hear. Some of us hear the word of God based on these senses, on these filters. We need to hear with another ear. The spiritual one. Somebody say amen. Whatever enters your ears will influence you. It will influence your mind. It will influence your heart, your decisions, and your behavior. So you better check out what you are listening to, whom you are listening to. Psalm 1:1. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners." You can take that image away now. Listening, as we come to a close, leads to learning. Listening leads to learning. We listen to learn. We listen to learn. Hearing could be, you could hear just hearing. You could listen to, you could hear message. We normally, confuse these things. I'm listening to music. I think we should say, I'm hearing music. Because at times you can listen to music and not pay attention to it. But listening, you're listening to learn. When talking about listening, you just sit and say, you grab a pen. You grab a pen. You grab a pencil, a book. Some of you are right now, I can see some of you writing in your notebooks, some of you on your phones, that you are paying attention. Listen, because, do you know why? Because there is more information in what I'm saying than what I actually say. When I say something, somebody gets a different revelation. God is speaking right now. And then, oh my God, that is new. Something comes and you write it down because you have been paying attention. You are listening to learn. That is what is called a disciple. A disciple is one who learns from his master. So, God wants you to be a disciple. That's why he says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples in all the nations. Let them sit down. Church is meant to be a place where we come down and sit down and learn. Not a place of entertainment. This is not a place just to make you feel good. No, these words that I'm speaking, the Bible says they are life. They will change you. If you listen with another ear, they will change your life. I can guarantee that. they will change your life. Unfortunately, most people are hard of listening. Listen, listening skills go beyond of they go further than the hearing process. You need to be a person who pays attention to the words that are being spoken, you know, with the intention of understanding another person. That's why I value any one of us here. If you do not understand what has been said on the podium, come back to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I did not understand what you were saying. What did that mean?" You can come to me, you can send a text. So what did you mean? Because at times, in most cases, when we say words here, when we speak words here, it's like somebody told me about you. "Pastor, were you talking about me?" Those are some of the questions we get here. "Pastor, is it me that you are talking about?" No. As a matter of fact, yes, I was talking about you. But nobody told me about you. Do you understand? It's God, it's the Spirit of the living God that is bringing the word. And if you felt that you were being spoken about, that means that the word of God wants to change you. He wants you to change in that particular area. So some of us take umbrage and say, "Oh, did Sister so-and-so speak to the pastor?" Because you have spoken to somebody, you have confided to somebody, and you think they have come to speak to me. No. The word, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you to change in that area, to make amends in that area. Do you understand? There are about four types of listeners. A non-listener. There are people who are called non-listeners, completely they don't even hear at all. These are the kind of people who are totally preoccupied in their personal thoughts. He doesn't listen to what he's in his own world, he's in his own cocoon. Then they are passive listeners. Passive listeners, they hear the words, but they don't fully absorb them. They don't understand them. They just go. And most Christians are passive. Then they are called listeners. Listeners pay some attention. They grasp only some of the intended message. Only the things that, you know, sound good to them, those ones they take. The other ones they delete. Other ones they distort. You know, the other ones they generalize. Especially when somebody's talking about a topic which they do not like. Switch off. Then we have got active listeners. These ones, may you become an active listener in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. They pay full attention to the speaker and they grasp and hang on to every word that is being spoken. Those are the people that Christ was talking about, disciples. You sit in a class and you are taught the word. The reason that we are not changed is because we are not being taught the word of God. And when it is taught, we do not hear. We are not there. Wake up. Somebody say, "Wake up." Hearing is not through these ears. Hearing is through the mind. Your mind has got to be here. Why should you get in a car or on a bus and travel miles and miles to come here not to listen? It's a disservice to yourself. Do you understand? You travel. You woke up early. Come and listen. You think the people who are going to go in Wembley Stadium, you think there's somebody who paid the ticket and is going to sit in Wembley Stadium and begin to be on his phone when the match is going on? They are on their phone. People are shouting around him. "Hey!" And for him, he's on his phone. He's on WhatsApp. No way. You will see them with their shirts off and you'll just see them make it. they are in the game. Can Christians be in the game? Can you be in it? It's okay to remove your shirt and say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." Can you become an active listener? One who listens without distorting the words, without generalizing the words, without deleting the words. The way it comes, take it. If it hits you, that was for me. Yeah. Deafness is a condition that defines a person who cannot hear. But the most tragedy is to have ears and not hear. He has ears that are working. You are not deaf, but you can't hear. That's terrible. Spiders do not have ears, but they hear. That's why Jesus Christ kept telling people, he who has ears must hear what the Spirit is saying. As we draw to a close, Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said, so be careful how you hear. Let me read from the Amplified. Be careful how you listen. For whosoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. Did you hear that? So be careful how you do what? Listen. For whoever has a teachable heart, because a person who listens to learn, they have a teachable heart. And let me tell you, I'll speak this without apology. Most Christians do not have teachable hearts. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you do not have a teachable heart. A teachable heart is a humble heart. A heart that says, you come here open-minded and I want to listen. But there are some people who will sit in the corner and say, bring it on. Let me see how this pastor is going to bring it today. You speak the word and say, in your heart, you're not saying it audibly. You can never learn if you do not have a teachable heart. You can never change if you don't have a teachable heart. May God implant a teachable heart in your spirit this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Say, take care how you listen. How you listen. Don't listen anyhow. Sit down attentively. Is it the word of God? Yes. That's why I encourage most of us to pull out your notebooks or your phones. Write something. Write something. Because not everything that you hear stays here, but something that you jotted down, you never forget. It says, for to him who has spiritual knowledge, more will be given. But to him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. Hearing and not listening is a sign of rebellion. And I speak it again. Most people in the church are rebellious. And then you go home and wonder why your child is rebellious. You are an adult in your 50s, in your 60s. You are a rebellious adult. Even at work, you are rebellious. You are a person who does not understand authority. Everywhere you go, you will find authority. You need to be a person who understands authority. If you don't understand authority, you will never learn. You will never grow. You will never change. If you find somebody who's, and that's why people who are better who are very good at things, what do we call them? We call them what? They are authorities. He's an authority in something. Now, if you want to learn from that authority, what do you do? You've got to humble yourself and listen. That's how you grow. That's how you can be mentored. If you entered into a company as a sweeper, that's how you can make it to become a manager, because you are teachable. You have got the capacity to sit under somebody who is better at something than you are. And the moment you realize that, you sit at their feet and you become a disciple. That is why Pharisees could not become disciples of Jesus Christ, because they thought they knew. A person who knows too much can never learn. And that is the problem. We know too much, yet we know nothing. There is somebody out there who is better at you than something. There will be somebody who is better than you. You cannot be better at everything. No. I am an authority in communication. If you cannot sit down and hear what I am communicating, you will not take anything away. Do you understand what I'm saying? How are you listening? Are you listening with pride? Are you listening with humility? They may be younger than you. In most cases here, we have got young people who are leading us in worship. Some people will just say, they are just kids. These are not just kids, my friend. They are vessels of God that have been anointed with the oil of God. Do you understand? Somebody who was preaching, she's a woman, I cannot listen to women. You are joking. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If somebody who hears and not and does not listen, that's a sign of rebellion. You are rebellious and you need to repent. Ezekiel chapter 12 verse 2. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but see not, who have ears to hear but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Let me just close this because we can continue and continue and continue. James chapter 1 verse 22 to 25 sums it up well for us. But we must be doers and not just hearers of what of the word of God. 22, but be doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Hallelujah. I rest my case for today. Stand on your feet wherever you are. Yeah. That's the right song. Mandelebo Shikaraba. Throw those hands to the Father. Ancient one, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient ones impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. James, can you mute this?
We have come
with open arms. So let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words long before us.
Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. One more time, ancient words. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, only the ancient words impart. Yeah. Father, we are here. We open our hearts, my Father. We open our hearts. We open our inner ears, my Father, Lord, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. This afternoon, we are awakening our hearing. and stop every spiritual hearing, my Father God, that your children may decipher your word. We stop, Father, the habit of deleting your word, of generalizing your word, of becoming too familiar with your word, my Father. Lord, we purpose to hear, to draw near, to listen. We purpose to draw near, to listen. Draw near, to listen. The Bible says, draw near, to listen. Draw near, to listen. That we may change, Father God, that we may become the disciples that you want us to be, my God. Where the word says, love one another, may we hear, not just hear it, but put it into action. Let your word take root. Let your word germinate in our hearts. Let your word bring fruit in our hearts, in our lives, my Father, Lord, that our light may shine and men may see our light. And thank you, the Father of lights, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We are tired of just being here, as we are tired of just, you know, going through the motions, my Father, Lord. I am tired of that. I am tired. I retire from that portfolio in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. I'm praying for you at home, whoever is listening today or tomorrow, retire from that portfolio of just being a hearer. I want to listen to the word of God. I am drawing near to listen. I'm changing the way I hear the word of God. This not only goes to the word of God, it even goes beyond. At your place of work, hear what your managers are saying. Some of you are too rebellious at work because you want to be too independent. Like I said, a person who hears and does not listen is just a sign of rebellion. Resign from being rebellious. Be teachable. Humble yourself before an authority. An authority in power, an authority in knowledge. Humble yourself. That's how you're going to grow. Have you ever seen people who grow? They say they entered. There's a man who was a minister here recently in the Labour government. It's called Johnson. This man entered started as a postman. How does he rise to become a minister? That's humility. There's something that he's learning along the way. Humble yourself. If you find somebody who's better than you at something, humble. It doesn't matter their age. God has got a way of giving gifts. He knows how to give to anybody. A kid may stand here and begin to speak and say, and you believe, and you switch off, you go to your phone. Humble yourself. I may not drive the car that you drive. I may not have the houses that you house. I may not have the money that you have. But when you come into the house of God, humble yourself. Humble yourself, because the word that I'm speaking to you is not my own. It's the word of God. Humble yourself under an authority. If you are a child of God and you say your church is Shiloh Tabernacle, humble yourself under this authority that the Lord has put here. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. A child, any child in this place, and your parents are still alive, humble yourself before your parents. Humble yourself before your teachers. You will never learn from a teacher whom you despise. Get into the class and go there to listen. Go to listen. Walk out of that front door of your home. Going to school to listen, not just going to hang around. School is not just there to be fun. You go there for a purpose. Go to learn. You listen to learn. Remember that. If you are to go with anything out of this place, listen. Go with that line. Listen to learn. Be objective. Open your heart. Like we sang that song, we have come with what? Open hearts. If your heart is closed, how will the information enter? You are folded your arms, you are in lackluster, you are cavalier, you are everything. How will you take anything? How will you change? Throw those hands to the Father and say, Father, give me a heart that listens. I will draw near to listen. At my place of work, I will be a listener. At school, I will be a listener. At home, I will be a listener. So help me, God. Give him a clap offering where you are.